Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many different versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I also welcome you to this episode tonight, I'm excited because we are still in the book of Proverbs. There is so much wisdom to be drawn from this particular book, and I am very excited to share this with you. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. And another reminder, about every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has set up a chat room where you can go directly there and we can dialogue one with another, more especially during these breaks. Now, before we get started, as I want and do always, personally, thank you all, those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I'm using. And I really thank you for them and keep them coming in. Now, as the theme song for this particular show suggests, the question for this hour is and always is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through King Solomon, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. That's taken from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. The promise is that you will be loved by God if you seek him. And the earlier, the sooner the better. God said again through King David this time, thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. That's taken from Psalms 119, verse 98. The promise is that you're going to be wiser than your enemies because of God's commandments. So embrace them, my precious brothers and sisters. God said again, this time through the prophet Ezekiel, I will feed them in a good pasture. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God Almighty. That's taken from Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 14 and 15. My precious brothers and sisters, this is the promise that you will be cared for. The Lord God will provide if you dwell in his pasture. So again, the question for this hour again is, are you standing on the promises of God? Now, before we get started, I just want to quickly remind you that the Bible is written in code, meaning in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that is what we're all about on this program, my precious brothers and sisters, studying and learning together. Now, let's go to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Proverbs chapter 11. That's where we're going to start this evening. Verse 14. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. And as I read the scripture verse to you, this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? That is so significant to know. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. And this is what King David told Israel about that. He said in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, we know that this is critical to us walking by faith and not by sight, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So communication is so key here. And to amplify what David said, turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy to show you how critical this is. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And this is what Moses told Israel in rehearsing to them. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 through 20. And this is what Moses said. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, meaning to his counsel, to observe and to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. My precious brothers and sisters, counseling is not exclusive, but it is vital. Cursed shall be you in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket in store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. Cursed shall be thee when thou comest in, and cursed shall be thee when thou goest out. So God, through Moses, is rehearsing to Israel the significance of following this counsel. Now let's go to Revelation. And we're going to look at and compare and agree with what the New Testament has to say about this in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 through 7. Listen, my brothers and sisters, this is what the Spirit is telling the church at Ephesus. This is the counsel that we need. And this is what the Spirit says and why. Nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou dost have, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear to listen to this counsel, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And this is why. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So that is the connection, my brothers and sisters. We must listen to counsel. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must consider the works of those who have gone before us. Those are our counselors, starting with our immediate elders, then those who are experienced in other matters being considered. We should be referring and reflecting on one another to make sure that we are able to get all of the views that we need to get through this experience we're having this side of eternity. So that is instruction for this evening. Now let's go to the next instruction, Let's go to back to Proverbs chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 25. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. And as I read the scripture text to you, now I see we're at our first break. Let's take that break, and then we'll return to the lesson.
I want to share a very important philosophy with you today. It's a philosophy I think everyone should hear. Proverb 6:8-11. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. Here's the five philosophy that we can learn from ants. Ants have no commander. Ants don't need a commander to tell them to get started. They work faithfully and need no outside accountability to keep them doing right and doing the right things. They work hard and will replace their anthill when it gets ruined. Meaning, if you want to apply this in your real life, be proactive, be honest to yourself, and be industrious. Ants plan ahead. Ants think winter all summer long. They store provision in summer. They think the clock is running out of time, and they are hurrying to get food back to their hive. Meaning, they hustle hard in advance to secure their future. Ants stay positive, always. Ants remind themselves that winter does not last long. They know they'll soon be out. Meaning, whatever happens in your life right now, it will not last forever. Ants never quit. They only change their approach. If they're going somewhere and you stop them or block their pathway, they'll look for another way up, down, all around. They keep looking till they find another way. Meaning, be learned to embrace struggle and hardship in your life. Be flexible and be like ants who don't quit. Winners are not quitters. Ants always do their best. Meaning, give your best in everything you do right now. It will always lead you to the greater things and the next level in your life. Thanks for watching this video. Share.
Sometimes you need to get knocked down.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious sisters and brothers, let's go to the next instruction. It is Proverbs chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 25. And before I read the instruction to you, this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the text. Planting and watering produces this. My precious brothers and sisters, this is what our work for the Lord God will produce. And this is what David, or King David, King Solomon said in Proverbs 11:25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So he that works in the vineyard, planting and watering, shall be also provided for. And we know that old scripture tells us, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. And Jesus also tells us that the workman is worthy of his hire. And Paul substantiates that by saying that the laborer is the first partaker of the fruit. So all of that is extracted from this verse. All right? So now let's go to Isaiah chapter 58, and we're going to see how it's amplified by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 58. This is what Isaiah has to say about that in verse 10 through 12. This is what Isaiah says. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shalt thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. You're planting and watering, my precious brothers. This is what is going to provide for you. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build thee old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. And that is what will give you, or you will receive as a result of your laboring with love in the Lord's vineyard. Okay, let's go to our New Testament compliment, and we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to see what Paul told the Corinthians about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 through 9. Listen to what Paul says. He gets more specific to planting and watering. Listen to what he says. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? Let's start with verse 5. But ministers whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandmen. Ye are God's building. So what Paul is telling us, that we are to be, as God identified in Genesis, as keepers of the Lord's garden, okay? And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that our commission from Jesus Christ is to plant and water God's garden, meaning its people, by preaching and teaching, by witnessing or testifying, or by administering and edifying. By admonishing and exhorting. So that's what I want you to understand from this particular instruction of planting and water. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back again with me, if you will, and we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 12 this time, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. And I want this to be the instruction, my sisters and brothers, that I want you to pay attention to as I read the scripture text to you. This is the instruction. Whosoever loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. How significant is this piece of wisdom that Solomon has given us? Whosoever loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. And this is what King Solomon said about it in chapter 12, verse 1. Whosoever loveth instruction, loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. And this is how King David added or amplified it in Psalms 119. We're going to see in Psalms 119 what King David said to expand upon this thought. Listen to what King David said about this in Psalms 119, verse 97 through 104. This is why it's so important to love instruction. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me Oh, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. My brothers and sisters, whosoever loveth instruction, that's the result. This is what you're going to get, more knowledge from God's laws and statutes and precepts. Okay, now let's go to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to compare and agree. We're going to see what Jesus said about this in chapter 13 of Matthew, verse 1 through 9. And this is containing loving instruction and gaining knowledge. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And Jesus said to them in parables, behold, a sower went out to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were choked, scarred, scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus gave a parable. And if you love instructions, you will get much knowledge. And that is what this parable is giving to us today. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we have basic instructions before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, as our textbook. That is our knowledge. And to ensure that we accumulate as much knowledge as we can, we should be familiar with the text. Okay, let's go back to Proverbs. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 12 again. This time we're going to look at several scripture, or I should say many scriptures, because what we're going to get from this particular instruction is the understanding. This is the instruction. More admonishment for wickedness and righteousness. So the proverb, the text is going to tell us a lot about wickedness and righteousness, and that's what I want you to pay attention to as I read it. This is what verse 2 and 3 says in chapter 12 about wickedness and righteousness. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices he will condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but by the root of the righteous shall he not be moved. Verse 5-7 says, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man, and we'll go to verse 10, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Verse 12 continues, the wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yielded fruit. Solomon is giving much, much information in chapter 12 about being wicked and being righteous. Verse 13 continues, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Verse 17 continues, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Verse 21, there shall no evil happen to the just, that's the righteous, but the wicked shall fall with mischief. Verse 26, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. And the last one is verse 28, in the way of the righteous is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. So you can see the difference between being righteous and being wicked. And that's what Solomon was emphasizing. And just to give more impetus and a slightly different viewpoint on this, let's go to King David, King Solomon's father. And this is what King David said about it in Psalms 37. And this is so significant, my brothers and sisters. Listen to what King David said in verse 1 and 2, chapter 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, meaning the wicked. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Now, verse 9 through 40, and I'm going to read it all because it is so significant, my brothers and sisters, as to show you how righteousness supersedes wickedness, and you want to be righteous. Verse 9 says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek, the righteous, shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You see the difference between the two, my brothers and sisters? The wicked plotteth against the just, the righteous, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. There's contention between the two. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The Lord will not allow the righteous to be moved. Now I see we're at a break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Sometimes you need to get knocked down before you can really figure out what your fight is and how you need to fight it. Sometimes you need to feel the pain and sting of defeat to activate the real passion and purpose that God predestined inside of you. God says in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Hear me well on this day. This day when you have reached the hilltop and you are deciding on next jobs, next steps, careers, further education. You would rather find purpose than a job or a career. Purpose crosses discipline. Purpose is an essential element of you. It is the reason you are on the planet at this particular time in history. Your very existence is wrapped up in the things you are here to fulfill. Whatever you choose for a career path, remember the struggles along the way are only meant to shape you for your purpose. When God has something for you, it doesn't matter who stands against it. If it's meant for you, God will move someone that's holding you back away from a door and put someone there who will open it for you. I don't know what your future is, but if you are willing to take the harder way, the more complicated one, the one with more failures at first than successes, the one that has ultimately proven to have more meaning, more victory, more glory, then you will not regret it. Press on with pride and press on with purpose and appreciate what God has brought you through.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious sisters and brothers, let us continue with this lesson. Remember, we're talking about admonishment of the wicked and of the righteous. So we're going to see the comparison. We already read or completed the reading that King Solomon gave to Israel. Now we're looking at another take on it, the way that King David is also telling Israel. And this is what we're going to continue with. Psalms 37, verse 14, and this is what David is telling Israel. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy and to slay such be of upright conversation. So that's what the wicked will do, contend against the righteous. But their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. Listen what King David said, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arm of the wicked shall be broken. But the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord is not going to respond but negatively to wickedness. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. So you will be provided for if you are righteous. But the wicked shall perish. And the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lamb. They shall consume. Into smoke they shall consume away. The wicked borroweth and pay not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such be blessed of the Lord, shall inherit the earth, and they shall be cursed of the Lord, shall be cut off. So again, righteousness versus wickedness, no contest with God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. That's righteous exclusively. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That's why the righteous survives. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. So depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord God loves judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. My brothers and sisters, you got to understand, in judgment, it could be a correction, as easy, as simple as a correction, or it could be as devastating as destruction. Verse 29 says, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Then the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment, not the wicked. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. But the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. But the Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. Be righteous, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. My brothers and sisters, you will witness folks that are in destruction, are being destroyed because of their wickedness. You will see that, and that should give you impetus to continue your righteousness. Verse 35 continues, I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Listen, my brothers and sisters, to what the righteous will have. Mark the perfect man, and behold, the upright are the righteous. For the end of that man is peace. For the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trusted him. So, my brothers and sisters, there is eternal life with righteousness, but there is eternal death with the wicked. And that's so significant. Now, let's compare and agree. Let's go to Revelations. Turn with me to Revelations. We're going to look at chapter 22, Revelations chapter 22. And we're going to see how the Spirit speaking to the church in the last book of the Bible indicates and compares and agrees with this. Revelation chapter 22, and it's verse 11 we're going to start. Listen to what the Spirit says. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. That's the wicked. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let he be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his works shall be. Meaning that if you're wicked, you're going to be held accountable. If you're righteous, you're going to be rewarded in that accountability. Verse 13 continues, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. There is where the wicked will reside. But the blessing of those who are righteous will be in the city of the Lord, receiving fruit from the tree of life. Okay, this is what it should mean to us spiritually. In our lives, my precious brothers, sisters and brothers, that our bottom line to know in this life is that God will save the righteous, but the wicked will be lost. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That's the bottom line. That's the coup d'etat. That's the coup de grace. That wickedness is going to eventuate into destruction, into loss, but righteousness into eternal life. Now, let's go to the next instruction. It's instruction 44. And again, let's look at Proverbs. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 4 this time in Proverbs chapter 12. We're going to just look at one verse that is going to be verse 4 in Proverbs chapter 12. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this particular instruction as I read the verse to you. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. My brothers and sisters, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. And that is so critical, because remember that God looked upon Adam in the beginning as Adam identified and named all the animals and all of the creation that God had made. And he saw that Adam was lonely, that he needed someone like him. And what did God do? God took the rib of Adam, and she became woman. That's the rib of Adam. And she became his helpmate. And so a virtuous woman is significant to the success of man. And we're going to go to the book of Ruth, and we're going to see how it was portrayed in the book of Ruth about a virtuous woman. And in the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verse 9 through 17, is what I want you to pay attention to as I read it. This is about Boaz and Ruth. This is what it says. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have brought all that was, that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and that all that was Shalon's, and the hands of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren. And from the gate of the place, ye are the witnesses of that this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thy house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephrathah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Jacob, of the seed of which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourishment of thy old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne thee. So this is telling us that Ruth, the wife of Boaz, was virtuous. And because of her virtuosity, the Lord God gave her lineage. And I'll tell you, verse 16 tells us, and Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi through Ruth, and they called his name Obed, and he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. See, you see the lineage, how what a virtuous woman will bring, and that is so key, my precious brothers and sisters. Now, let's go to the New Testament complement. We're going to see in the book of Ephesians how Paul put it. In the book of Ephesians, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 22 through 33. And this, Paul tells us how significant it is to have a good wife. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subjected unto Christ. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So it's telling us that the wives need to be virtuous towards the husband. And this is what the husbands are supposed to do. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. It should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord did the church. You see how significant this is, my brothers and sisters? For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his mother and father, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Remember that was established. That was the first prophecy, I think, in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, where Adam prophesied that the women would leave their parents and become one flesh and one bone with the husband. This is a great mystery, Paul says, but I still speak concerning the church and Christ. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverenced her husband. So that's how Paul gave us the information of how significant it is to be a virtuous woman. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That marriage is so important to God that he sanctified it both physically and spiritually. My precious brothers and sisters, listen to what I'm saying. Man with woman and God with mankind. And you know, throughout the Bible, it talks about the lamb and the marriage feast and the bride and the bridegroom, many parables. And that is how significant connection is between man and woman and God and man, or God and mankind. That's what's significant. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 12. We're going to be looking at several verses again in Proverbs chapter 12. And in this instance, what I want you to do, as I read the text to you, I want you to keep in mind this particular instruction. This is the instruction. And I see that we went beyond the time that we were allotted. So let's take a break before we continue.
The shortcut is a lie. The hack doesn't get you there. And if you want to take the easy road, it won't take you to where you want to be. To reach goals and overcome obstacles and be the best version of you possible will not happen by itself. It will not happen cutting corners, taking shortcuts, or looking for the easy way. There is no easy way. There is only hard work, late nights, early mornings, practice, rehearsal, repetition, study, sweat, blood, toil, frustration, and discipline. Discipline, the root of all good qualities, the driver of daily execution. Discipline defeats the infinite excuses that say, not today, not now, I need a rest, I'll do it tomorrow. There is only one way, the way of discipline.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's look at this instruction. We're going to Proverbs chapter 12 again and take another instruction from Proverbs chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 15, 16, and 23. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verse to you. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. My precious brothers and sisters, did you hear me? This is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. This is what King Solomon said about that in chapter 12, verse 15 and 16. He says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covers his shame. And verse 23 completes the thought. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. So we know that that is so significant. We are also aware that King Solomon told us that the man that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. And now we're going to amplify. We're going to let King David give us his take on this before we go into the comparison and agreement with the New Testament. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms chapter 14. And we're going to look at verse 1 through 6. Psalms 14, 1 through 6. And this is what King David said. The fool had said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that does it good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They all are gone astray. They are all together become filthy. There is none that does good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for the God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. So we can see what foolishness does to a body. And what is so significant is that Jesus told us that foolishness is destruction. Jesus said in a parable that the man that is wise, that hears Jesus' words and does his work, he built his house upon the sand or upon the rock. And when the rains came and the floods beat up against the house and the wind blew, it did not fall because it was built upon rock. But the foolish man, he did hear the word of God, but he did not keep the word of God. It's like he built his house upon sand. And when the rains came and the waters beat up against that house and the flood came, it fell. And great was the fall of it because it was built upon sand. And this is where I'm going to connect and compare with the scripture. We're going to go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 23 through 26. And this is what instruction that Paul gave to Timothy concerning this. Chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse 23 starts. It says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do engender strife. So what Paul is saying, that don't take time, the foolish, unless they are teachable, unless they respond to learning. In verse 24 says, why? And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness and instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taking them captive by himself at his own will. So we can see that foolishness is to be avoided. In fact, there is an old writing in scripture by Jewish sages that says, talk not much with a fool, and go not with him that hath no sense. And again, do not pour out many words where there is no hearing, and do not give out your wisdom out of season. So that is something, and we can find scripture time and time again giving us understanding on how to perfect ourselves in this instance and not be foolish but be wise. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters, that we must be careful how we share the word of God, because Jesus says, do not give what is holy to the dogs and your pearls to the swine, for they will rend them and trample them. So again, there's more of an understanding on how we should be acting, my God, my brothers and sisters, and preventing ourselves from not being foolish and avoiding foolishness. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verse 22 in Proverbs chapter 12. And as I read the text to you, this is what I want you to focus on. This is the instruction. Lying lips are an abomination to God. Lying lips are an abomination to God. And this is what King Solomon said about that. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord God Almighty, but they that deal truly are his delights. So he's telling us, and we just read in a previous instruction, where the wicked, those liars, are going to end up in the lake of fire. And now what we're going to do is compare and agree. Let's go to the book of Revelations, and we're going to go to Revelations chapter 21, and we're going to see what the Spirit says about this to the churches. Revelations chapter 21, and the verse is 8, and this is going to tell us about this. Verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire. And this is the second death. So I kind of mentioned it, but that's what I am using as my text to compare and agree. So this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that lying is a critical impediment to all mankind. And it is the most frequently used sin we commit. Now let's go to our final break of the evening, and then we'll continue.
Empty. This is what the devil wants women to feel. Sadness, that they will not be loved. Loneliness, that they will not feel safe. Betrayed, so that their hearts will harden into stone. The devil knows that women were created to be powerful. He is afraid of what an anointed woman in faith is capable of. He knows the truth. Women, rise up. Proverbs 31:25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Luke 1:45. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Proverbs 31:10. She is worth far more than rubies. Psalm 46:5. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Colossians 2:10. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Proverbs 31:17. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. 1 Timothy 3:11. In the same way, women are worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperament and trustworthy in everything. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Proverbs 3:15-16, "She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare to her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor."
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, turn back with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 13. We're going to be looking at two verses in Proverbs chapter 13. We're going to be looking at verse 2 and 3. And this is the particular verse or instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Be careful what you say. My brothers and sisters, that is so significant. We must watch what we say. And this is what Solomon has to say about that in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 2 and 3. "A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." That is so significant, my precious brothers and sisters. And we know that King David in Psalms 39 had this to add to that. We want to look at King David, and this is what he said to Israel in Psalms 39, verse 1. He says, "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred." And so we can see that David is also telling us that you got to be careful about your tongue. All right. And now to compare and agree with this, we're going to go to James chapter 3. And we're going to see what James has to say about this. And we know that James stressed this significantly in chapter 3 about the tongue. He says, this is how James says it. "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith God we bless, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings." My brothers, this ought not to be so. "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Fig tree, my brother, bring olive berries, either figs, and no fountain, both yield water and fresh. So who is the wise man among us endued with knowledge? Let him show out of a good conversation his worth with meekness and wisdom." So that is what connects the dot. And this is what we should understand, my brothers, that our tongues speak life and death, and the knowledge of good and evil automatically activates the tongue. So we must make sure our mind is set on the knowledge of everlasting life. Now, that is the lesson for this evening. And before we dismiss, I would like for you to, in behalf of the host and I, we would like to thank you for participating and being an encouragement tonight. God bless and good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. Please join us every Monday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.